You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Pjanic, who's facing up to it, skips one way, then the other, then delivers the perfect cross, and then it's Suarez! Sensational from Luis Suarez! I think he was off the ground when he hit it.
10 goals for Barcelona in the span of 4 days. They rip apart Real Madrid, and guess who they ripped apart today? Roma in the Champions League. So it just goes on and on. Quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm. They work for you 24-7. The Houston personal injury attorney handles personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents, medical injuries, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents, right on down to boat and car accidents, and that includes wrongful death as well. It's DaspitLaw.com. Call 713-364-0915, 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com. And with the Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress, like right now, depending on the circumstances of your accident. You have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. So John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firms, they are great supporters of the game of soccer. 713-364-0915 or toll-free 888-273-1045, both in English and Spanish. So as we get settled in here to start the second hour, Stephanie Oakes of the Houston Dash coming in here. We got a lot to talk about with her here tonight, coming back from injury and all that lonely physical therapy, which I know she's glad to be done with. This may be the hardest working woman in Houston because she was working at one place, working at another tonight, working with young soccer players. So it's great she's going to be in here. Jan Christensen from Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, also an assistant coach at the University of St. Thomas. And we're waiting for Felipe Valenzuela. Are you guys fetching him?
He's going to get him right now.
Of BN Sports. So, Jan, welcome in. But ladies first, Stephanie, welcome into the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Always a pleasure having you here. And I appreciate you hustling here. Whoever that young, fortunate girl you were working with training, she's pretty lucky to have you personal one-on-one. And Jan, thank you very much for coming in.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Jan, you know I get very nervous when guests come in here with a bunch of notes.
You're making me very nervous. I'm going to challenge you.
You don't need notes.
I have nothing over here. So.
You don't need it. No, the good news. So I asked Stephanie right away off the top, did you see the Real Madrid-Barcelona game? So I think we're going to start with that. We're going to get your first overall thoughts on that, Stephanie, because we witnessed something marvelous.
I'm a huge Barcelona fan. I've always been. So it was very, very nice for me to watch that game. I thought Iniesta was amazing. He's one of my favorite players. Him and, of course, Messi. But he is just a magician on the ball to me.
You know what I've always loved about him, too? His sense of humility. He's not a guy out in social media.
Right.
He just seems the consummate professional. That's another attractive thing to me in this day and age where – you know, listen, I'm not bagging it because I think social media helps grow the sport. Certainly for us in this country, it was never around when I played professionally. But I just think there's something refreshing about the way the man carries himself.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I feel the same. It's so refreshing to see someone who is like that. And I was fortunate enough to actually meet Messi when they were training here with Argentina. And I thought the same about him. You know, I mean, he only spoke Spanish, so from what I understood, he was very, very humble, very soft-spoken and very nice, and I kind of imagine Iniesta to be the same way, and obviously we only see them in little spurts on games, you know, we don't know their entire lives, but just the way they carry themselves, you know, that's something I've always respected, to be in the spotlight and to still be grounded at the same time.
So wait a minute, this could be a first here. Do I have a female that's going to tell me she likes Lionel Messi more than Cristiano Ronaldo?
Any day of the week.
Just became my hero. Because everybody always says Ronaldo because they go with his, I guess, his looks. Jan, you and I watched the game at Bar Munich together, which is a great sponsor of this show. So tell me your impressions of the game.
Well, I just want to pick up what Stephanie just said because, you know, it all comes down to La Masia, which is Barcelona's academy. And that's where they practice humility. They teach them you can be a professional soccer player and you can still be humble. That's one of the main teachings at the academy.
Well, let's not go into purpose of play and all that, that yet. That's the humility piece. Yeah, because I want to get to that later. We'll go in depth with that. But that's the humility piece.
But I see,
which, by the way, Johan Cruyff was a big part of setting all that up.
Yeah, Johan Cruyff and Charlie Rexach. He came with Johan Cruyff to Barcelona.
Ray Hatch,
that's right. Anyway, but to go back to the game, what I saw in that game is Barcelona, they play together for each other. Real Madrid don't. That's what I saw. They play together for each other. They don't. And Ronaldo complaining he doesn't get the ball. Other people complaining they don't. And arguments on the field, you know. And I just saw that togetherness that they have. And of course, again, going back, 68% of their squad is from the academy. All right? 68%. Number two in Europe is Bayern Munich with 38% from the academy. Mm. So those guys, they just know each other. They know how they think. They know, and just, of course, we got a couple of, put in a few pieces like Neymar as well, as, you know, that kind of, you know, that will help because they saw, these guys understand our game, they understand how we play and they can fit in. And that's what they're brilliant at, is fitting players in.
Yeah, it's so distinctive. It's so distinctive, that level of humility, that purpose of play, that identity that they have. And they are truly the polar opposites, aren't they? We didn't even see Cristiano Ronaldo much. I mean, he had two flashes maybe in the game. Did you even know Gareth Bale was playing?
No. I knew he had a man bun. That's all I knew.
Yeah,
was the man bun cool? Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, unless you're a sumo wrestler, I don't think
you
wear one of them.
I said that going to you in the second half. Oh, they put Gareth Bale in, and you said no, he's been in all the time, and I didn't even see him. You know,
that's true.
That we can't be good.
I asked you that question. You know, so that was very interesting. But what we look at Barcelona, 5 games in November, 18-1 goal score, and that was only because that Roma scored today in the 93rd minute.
Yeah, by the way, they were 8-1 without Lionel Messi. That's another talking point tonight. They've scored 10 goals in 4 days against 2 clubs of history, Real Madrid
and Roma.
So, you know, not only are they on emotionally and mentally and physically for their biggest rivals in the biggest game of the year, but then 4 days later, they can turn it on against Roma and rip them apart. To me, it's unbelievable.
And Messi's back with 2 goals.
Yeah. That, I think, to me, the biggest thing I take away from that is the consistency, and that is the hardest thing to have as a team, is to be great, but to be great all the time. And for them to do that, I think, really shows something.
Amazing.
All right, so let me just remind everybody a little bit about Stephanie. Stephanie Oakes is obviously a member of the Houston Dash, played with the Washington Spirit as well, played in college at San Diego. So you know where Rancho Santa Fe is.
I sure do.
I have a sister there. A very good sister, by the way. But Stephanie's coming off a bad injury. Tell us a little bit about how difficult a year this was for you, because obviously it's a lonely place when you're going through an injury. You don't feel like you're a part of the team, even though you are. And my phone is ringing. Could be the pizza that I ordered for you guys.
Yes.
Anyway, so just talk about that lonely feeling of having to do the rehab.
It's very hard to describe, you know. I went into the season and I felt fitter than I've ever been, and I was so excited to get started and to, you know, to show what I have, and was just really chomping at the bit, was like ready to go, was super amped, and to feel the way I was feeling, and, you know, you kind of feel untouchable and you're like, you feel on the top of your game, and then to have it all taken away from you is probably one of the hardest things, you know. And I know people say that a lot about having a serious injury, is it's hard not to play, but I never really understood it, obviously, until I had to go through it. And it's hard when it's like, football's the love of my life. I love it so much, and I love playing every single day, and I didn't realize how much of a release it is for me and how happy it really makes me. I always knew I loved it, but when it's really taken away from you, you're kind of like, wow. It really opens up your eyes and says, either this is something you really love or it's not. If you kind of get injured and you're like, oh, whatever, like I don't want to come back, you know, because it's such a long journey and it's so tedious that you have to love it to come back from it and come back stronger. So at this point, I'm kind of thankful for it because it really reinforced everything I thought I knew before, but I just 100% now every day I don't regret coming back from it. I don't regret playing at all. I don't regret the injury, which sounds weird but it kind of changed things for me. It showed me that no matter how high you can get, no matter how good you can be, you can always be taken away from you. And that's something you can't always control for. But the idea is to, you know, to do your best to be prepared all the time. And that's the best I can do. So
is it more appreciation for the game?
Yeah.
And then take me into being on the outside looking at the game. What did that do for you now analytically, maybe as a player?
I would go to Dash Games and analyze the crap out of them. You know, I would sit there and watch, and I would try to take both sides. You know, it's very different to be on the field and to be experiencing it than it is to be a spectator who's looking in saying, oh, they should do this, they should do this. You know, but I would try to mesh the two and say, okay, I'm seeing this on the outside, but what are the players experiencing? Try to mesh that together and say, how do we overcome certain difficulties, or how do we get out of this situation, you know? And that's kind of how my brain was working. And
solutions.
Yeah. And I didn't want to be the one sitting out who was kind of like pouting, you know, the one who was kind of just like sadly watching games. I felt very apart from the team, which sounds a bit sad, but I felt like I was away from the team, but also felt a part of it at the same time. It's a weird thing to describe, but I was very much on the outside looking in, but I was still connected. You know, I wasn't like, okay, I'm going to go do my own thing. I was there supporting them through everything.
You forced yourself to
to
push and make sure you remained a part of the team too, because you can be forgotten. I've been in the situation as well.
Yeah.
Did your teammates do a lot to help lift you too?
Yeah. And
because you need that at times.
Yeah. I had some really good friends on the team. Ella Masser and Nikki Cross were probably two of my closest friends, and they always had a way to like make me laugh. And I'm a pretty like positive person, but the times where I was even starting to get a little bit down, they would just pick me right back up. And having that support system is amazing, you know. But there's always going to be people who kind of say, oh, how's your knee doing? Oh, okay. And you just get used to answering, oh, yeah, it's fine, it's getting better. You know, I don't know how many times I've said
even
that to people.
Maybe it wasn't perfectly fine.
Yeah, but, you know, they really took the time and invested in me and really would make sure I was doing okay and would make the effort to be there for me and my family as well. You know, it was such a huge support system, and that really helped a lot.
Well, we're glad you've come through it. We'll talk to you a little bit more, too, about playing in with Canberra United. I know I've asked you about that before. But we welcome into studio Felipe Valenzuela by way of the first floor here at 5353 West Alabama. Felipe, we were trying to find you down there. Thank you for coming in. Felipe, obviously with Be In Sport, and has a tremendous knowledge about soccer as well. Thank you for coming, Felipe.
No, thank you, Glenn. Thank you for having me. And it is a pleasure always to be here. And soccer is amazing. So let's talk about soccer.
All right. We already gave Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations. We've already given Stephanie Oakes of the Houston Dash the question of the Real Madrid-Barcelona game. Just give us your thoughts on what was an unbelievable day of football watching.
You know what? Used to see Barcelona today and beat 6-1 and score 4 goals at Real Madrid, 10 goals and 2 games and 15 goals in the last 5 games is just amazing. I think Real Madrid has an amazing team, but I think there's something going on behind, you know, with Rafa Benitez. I think there are some players, believe it or not, that they don't agree with the, you know, the way that they're playing right now. The question is, you know, why fire Carlo Ancelotti when everything was going on great. Why? That's the big question right now. I don't take anything away from Rafa Benitez, but I mean, I don't think it's working out. So now Real Madrid is paying for that. I think Barcelona, without Messi in the first half, they did a lot. And then by the second half, you know, complimenting Messi on the field, it was just an amazing. I mean, Barcelona is going back to basics, and they play more together than the Real Madrid. Real Madrid, you got Cristiano Ronaldo, you got Benzema, pass me the ball. I didn't see Bell and Cristiano in the whole game.
No, very little
nothing,
from Benzema.
Nothing at all.
But I guess when you can't get the ball, it's not...
correct.
I mean, simply, if you want to put it in simple terms, Jan, it's if you don't have the ball, yeah, you can nullify and take the edge off great players.
Right. And that's what Barcelona's game is all about, is possession, you know. And it is about making the other team run until they get confused. You know, they're confusing with changing positions. Correct. They change positions, and it's just an incredible to watch, you know. And I just sometimes people say, well, why can't other teams figure this out? Well, because it's inbred since they were 10 years old. It's been inbred in them how to play this way, and other teams don't do that. And
so let me ask you, put this on the table to all three of you, because this is an interesting thing to consider here. Is this team under Luis Enrique, has it improved over the Pep Guardiola team? Because remember, everybody started saying, Guardiola's teams are overpassing it. They're not penetrating. They're not up in the tempo as much. Believe it or not, people said it was boring, which I never agreed with, but is there a little bit more sense of urgency to get to goal? And I'll start with you, Stephanie, maybe under Luis Enrique?
You know, I think so a little bit. I haven't been keeping up as well as I should have, even though I still go with Barcelona all the time. But yeah, you know, I think whenever you have a change like that, everyone's kind of, the spotlight's on you and everyone's looking for something and looking for, what are they doing wrong now? What's going to happen? You know, but there's always going to be some type of period that of adjustment, you know, but I think they're really starting to take off. So,
yeah, I get the sense, Felipe, that there is more urgency to get forward a little bit quicker.
You know what? Pep Guardiola, to me, he's a genius. I mean, I am sure they miss Pep Guardiola Barcelona. Then Tito Villanova tried to do something similar. Of course, you know what happened after that. And Tata Martino, I don't think he was the right fit. Now with Luis Enrique, they're trying to find the keys to get...
They haven't found them?
They're getting there, not to the point to be the same Barcelona with Pep Guardiola. Luis Enrique is a good coach, don't take me wrong. I think he's a great coach, and amazing things is going to happen. But not when they have Pep Guardiola when he was a head
coach. That thought, Jan. Get ready for that thought as well. We've got to take a quick break here. Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Felipe Valenzuela, Be In Sport. And, of course, a very healthy Stephanie Oakes now off the knee injury. And we're excited that your health is back. And we're going to see you on the field for the Houston Dash. We'll take a break here. It's a 7-Up break. A lot more to come here. We're going to continue to talk Barcelona. And I'll tell you what, if you're out there and you want to join the conversation, be a part of this. It's 713-780-3776, and I'm sure there's some good sales going on at Danish Inspirations. We may talk to Jan about that. Maybe one of those stressless lounge chairs would be good for somebody over Thanksgiving. Take a break.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Neymar. Oh, Messi again. Surely this time. He does have his 10th Champions League goal. Gerard Piquet. The centre-half fancying life as a centre-forward.
Got in that yellow card as well, but it was dangerous. Has to be careful.
Oh, what a take from Neymar. Sumptuous skill, and then rolled in by Messi.
And they have goal number 5 inside the hour.
Well, not really. I can hear my voice. I don't really. You want to hit it?
Welcome back to ESPN 97.5, and as always, it's 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. All right, we're continuing the discussion here. Stephanie Oakes of the Houston Dash. We've got Felipe Valenzuela of Be In Sport and Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. So we... thank you guys for all being in studio here tonight. This is the Thanksgiving edition of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. So, Jan, you know, I was thinking about what I just said and the thoughts about urgency with Barcelona and maybe being a little bit more urgent in getting the ball forward. And then I'm sitting here going, well, yeah, if you got Luis Suarez there, Neymar, and Lionel Messi, I guess you would want to get it forward quick.
Right. And that's some of the difference with Guardiola, of course. You got Suarez in there, you know, it changes the game a lot. You know, Suarez there, man, he's just he's a hard worker. On the first goal, he went back and got tackled in the midfield and ran up, you know, and Guardiola didn't have him, you know. So I think that has helped them a lot to get him into the team as well. And I think Neymar gotten a lot better too. Neymar has gotten a lot better getting used to the Spanish game and since Guardiola was there.
And by the way, Luis Enrique, everybody said he's never going to get these three guys to play together, and I think he defied all the critics.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And but also you saw Pep Guardiola today, Bayern Munich up 3-0 after 25 minutes. You know, that guy is brilliant too. So I'm not going to prefer any of them. I mean, I think both of them are brilliant coaches and fits perfectly into the system of Barcelona.
I mean, would you have thought that all three of those could play together, Stephanie? Even Johan Cruyff, the great Johan Cruyff, said it's not going to work.
It was funny because when he was talking about that, I was thinking of when I was finding out that all these players were going to be together, and I was like, this is either going to be really good or really bad.
Yeah,
you know, because it's not just, it's the player as a whole, you know, it's not just their ability on the field, it's also their type of personality. If you get players who are big ego players, and it's going to be hard for them to work together. Yeah. But I think it's really flowed well, and as a spectator, that's the most exciting thing to see, because you see all these big names here, and you're like, okay, all right, this is cool, but can you put it on the field? And I think it's been good so far, and it's been really fun to watch.
Right. All right, Felipe Valenzuela, guess what?
You know what? I think Barcelona, they got so many good players, but, I mean, most of the players, they come from the academy teams, which is important. They play together. And talk about academy, they already have a good program for Barcelona girls because they always competing in big soccer. You know, and it's good that they have these programs with boys and girls. Talking about girls, I got a couple girls, you know, that they play soccer. They're probably their
Your daughters?
Yeah.
How old are they?
One is 2 and the other one is 4.
Do you bring them to Dash games?
Lemis and Elisa, probably they're listening right now, but they have to go to bed because they have to go to school tomorrow, that's for sure. But they play soccer and they're pretty good, and I'm sure they're going to be playing soccer soon. So hello to them and to the queen of the house, you know, that they're listening right now, Leila. But anyways, going back to soccer, I think it's important that Barcelona, they find this talent. We're talking about Xavi, Iniesta, you know, all those guys that they play together. I mean, they have something. I haven't seen, I don't know if you've seen, Glenn, a player for Real Madrid that we can be talking right now that he came for academy. I don't know when is the last time. Probably Isco?
Isco, yeah.
Probably is the one that he's, you know.
How about his sending off? That was nasty.
Correct. I mean, but I think Barcelona right now got a better team than Real Madrid.
All right, so I'm going to flip the subject here a little bit. Now, here we are, Houston, Texas, right? We have the infrastructure of Energy Stadium. We have the infrastructure of BBVA Compass Stadium. When I was here playing professional soccer, we played in high school stadiums. We'd go on the road and play in empty NFL stadiums. So we now have two of the finest facilities going. Yeah. So We've got Women's World Cup qualifying in BBVA Compass Stadium in February. Sure. In June, we have the Copa Centenario, which is going to be the biggest international soccer event in the United States since the 94 World Cup, which will take place at Energy Stadium, three games. And then we even have, believe it or not, which most people don't realize, the NCAA Men's College Cup next December, which I believe we can draw 10 to 15,000 people at that final and blow that thing out of the water. So when we look at Houston as a soccer city, do we appreciate what is going on here? And we have two professional soccer teams, by the way, the Houston Dynamo and Houston Dash. So, yeah, and I say to you, are we in an unbelievable period right now for the game of soccer in this city?
Well, I think it's absolutely fantastic what's coming to town next year. And but I also think that the Houston Dynamos need to get their act together and promote the game better and promote the sport and fill up that stadium, because every time they say, well, it's sold out, I'm down there, there's 6,000 people down there, you know, and they say it's sold out, you know, and how do they create the atmosphere? How do we get, in my judgment, a better soccer management in there that really can figure out how do we create some excitement around the Houston Dynamos? And of course, the selection of players will help too, as well. Of course.
Yeah, I think they've made a real committed effort. I think they are. They're trying to change the structure of the team. But I think, as you know, today there's a very big piece that just came out that Gabriel Brenner and two locals are going to buy the controlling interest of the team, which that could mean vision change. That could mean a lot of things. I'm interested to know who the two locals are. But I'm going to take it to you, Felipe, now. Just what an amazing time it is for Houston. And by the way, Yan, you know, they helped get the stadium built too. And you're right. They do have a lot of work in the community to do with the Latino fan base. Maybe you can shed some light on that, Felipe.
You know what? I do believe the Houston, we are very lucky to have all these events. And, you know, we are in the middle of West and East Coast, so that is important. I heard, you know, by my contacts and everything, that there will be three games for Copa Centenario here. One of them, you know, of course, they try to put everything together, but I mean, Mexico will be playing here. That's what I've been told. So we're going to wait, and I think, you know, we have the Dash too, Stephanie. I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of fans, you know, and of course, you know, like I said before, little girls, they follow soccer, you know, and they get more passion for the game. Because believe it or not, I mean, I think that's a beautiful game. But we're very lucky here in Houston to have all these amazing professional sports.
Copa Centenario, I mean, you covered the Copa America for BN Sports.
Yeah.
Copa Centenario, I mean, I don't think people understand how big this is going to be. Especially mainstream sports doesn't understand. It's going to be like a World Cup. There are going to be people from all over the world coming to all these different cities to see, listen, Brazil, Neymar, Argentina, Messi, Aguero, on and on we go. Jaimes Rodriguez, Colombia, Luis Suarez, Uruguay. You think of the world stars and how many of them are going to be here all at one time, Stephanie.
It's very exciting.
I mean, it's mind-blowing, to be honest.
And we needed that because, you know, Europe, they got the Euro Cup. So America needs something like that, you know, and I am sure, you know, United States, you know, is the right place to play Copa Centenario. Why? Because, you know, we got a variety of cultures in this country, Colombians, Mexicans, Venezuelans. I mean, we got quite a few people here. I mean, and I am sure, positive, that we're going to see a lot of stadiums that they're going to be packed. And it's going to be crazy, and I think it's going to be amazing.
I think people are going to come from all over the world, and they're going to treat it like a World Cup. We're going to come to the U.S. for a couple of weeks. We're going to follow our team around. I think it's going to blow up, and I don't think people are
realize.
I don't think they realize it. I don't think they realize it, and I hope people that are sponsoring the game, I mean, this is incredibly saleable. This is something you want to be a part of. Pretty remarkable. Women's Olympic qualifying here in February, Stephanie. That's exciting too.
I think it's especially exciting because we just had the World Cup and U.S. obviously won the World Cup. So there's so much to be excited about. And I think it's really going to get the ball rolling, you know, no pun intended, really going to get the ball rolling with the fan base, you know, as when you see a team like that be successful, you just, you want to support it. You want to get involved. And I think, at least for, I know for women's soccer, it's starting to get bigger and bigger. And I think, and I hope that that kind of is an influence throughout American culture. I think that's kind of been the hardest thing, is that here we have other big sports that are just like American football, baseball, that are take over so much of the fan base, and other places they grow up with football and they just love it, you know, and it's kind of ingrained in the culture. And I think that is something I would want to see here, is, you know, people getting exposure to all these great players and being able to watch the beautiful game in so many different ways and falling in love with it, and so much so that it becomes more of a culture and I don't have to search really hard to find soccer games on TV. And you know what I mean? It's like they have all the college football games on, and I'm like, come on.
You were not here in the 80s when we saw one every month. We saw one game every month.
She wasn't born.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, I think that Olympic qualifying, being here at BBVA Compass Stadium, the perfect precursor for your season. I mean,
absolutely,
it kind of whets everybody's appetite about it. There'll be Dash players involved. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I mean, the U.S., I mean, I don't want to sound, but we expect them to be in the semis and the final. And, and that means, you know,
and that's the team
Dash
to beat.
Players
that's
are going
to
be there.
USA is the team to beat. Yeah, that's right. That's what I think.
But also, what with women's soccer, what I found wonderful about it is the quality, how it's gone up since, you know, I first watched Denmark go in the World Cup final back in the 80s, you know, and I was so boring, I thought, you know. But now I was so excited about this last World Cup. The bars were packed with people, and the excitement of and the speed of the play. And I can only say that as an assistant coach for the University of St. Thomas women's team, you saw the team. It's an amazing quality of players. And, you know, I have practiced with them, and, man, I'm shocked how strong they are, how fast they are. And, you know, of course, the coach, Nick Bagdrejcevic from Serbia, has really put together a strong program there for the University of St. Thomas.
Well, I don't think there's any question the women's game has grown. I mean, when you look at the college game now that you've graduated from the college game to the pro level, and you played, Stephanie, do you see the player coming out of college? Do you see a difference in that college game now and its growth and its ascension, whether it's more athletic? I mean, I watch, you know, Florida Gators, and they got center backs who are not afraid to carry the ball out of the back, Kristen Westfall, and join in the attack. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal to watch the growth.
Yeah, I think it's getting better, but that is also a hard transition for them, because they kind of are in college and are kind of big fish in little ponds, and then once they get to the pro level, everyone is good pretty much. So they're like, really, like, blows them back. And
but
like,
that's natural,
yeah.
I think. I don't think there's any – that will never change. But
right.
I'm just saying, I think the overall quality and the purpose of play of the women's college game – and, by the way, facilities, forget it. They're beyond the roof. It doesn't look like anything that I played in college. You know, they put a rope around the field. I mean, now they're playing in stadiums built specifically for women's soccer. It's incredible.
Yeah, and I think it's good that we have the NWSL, so they have something to – look up to and to watch, and you know, they can watch these professional players and take that home with them, and you know, try to ingrain it in their play. And they also look at it and say, okay, this is the level now, I need to get there. And it's the same thing with the U.S. national team. You know, you see them doing well, winning the World Cup, and I mean, if I were a player in college, that would just make me want to go out and work even harder, you know, because you realize that you have to get to this standard, this higher standard now. So,
yeah, the visible goal is amazing to have sitting in front of you.
Now, how hard is for you, Stephanie, to pick soccer over a career? You know, out of college, you might get a really good job.
Yeah,
you know, like
she's pioneering right now. She's a pioneer.
But I mean, how hard is that? I mean, to choose between, okay, I want to make it for the national team, and I want to play for them for many years. Mm-hmm. Or pick a career, you know, or how do you guys do it? Because,
well, she's coming back from an ACL injury, and before, I think we had just gotten you in studio, but she described in great words how passionate you are about the game. And you know, you went on to talk about the injury, kind of almost reaffirming what soccer meant to you.
Yeah, and It's a very hard league to play in. I will definitely say that. It's not easy to play for 6 months, 6-7 months out of the year. So essentially you're employed 6-7 months out of the year. And then as soon as the season's done, you're kind of on your own. You have to figure it out. And
yeah, that's on and off the field.
Yeah. To be perfectly honest, we don't make enough during the season to just sit back and hang out in the off season. And I say this all the time, but I think if you asked, you put the men's team on what we get paid, they'd be like, no freaking way.
They would laugh.
They would laugh. And that's the unfortunate thing is that, you know, that's kind of how it is right now. And I hope it'll get better. And that's kind of what I'm working towards. But, you know, it's very tough. But with that makes you really have to love it to play. So we're not there for any other reason than we just love playing. And
hold that thought, because yeah, we're in a hard break. Hold that thought. We'll come back to that. This is great stuff from Stephanie Oakes. Houston Dash, coming back from injury, too, by the way. We're glad she's healthy. He's Felipe Valenzuela, BN Sport, and he's Danish Inspirations, Contemporary Furniture. He is the White Puma. Jan Christensen. That might have been Jimmy Nielsen, but you're a better White Puma than him. We'll take a break. Tyler will take us there. It's a Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5.
Turn your lights down low.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
That?
Now they've got two players on a hat-trick. And yet Neymar gets the chance to get his first goal. And if ever there was a sign of team spirit, this is it. Short run-up. It is Neymar. It's saved by Szczesny. And the follow-up! He's hammered home by Adriano. Wonderful finish. And Szczesny can't believe his luck. He saves the penalty.
This musical selection coming from the Houston Dash is Stephanie Oakes. Bob Marley, Turn Your Lights Down Low. Goes with the classic. Very nice. Jan Christensen wanted to hear Start Me Up from the Rolling Stones. We won't get to that one tonight, but we will hear Felipe Valenzuela's pick. And this was a little one that's out there. Toad the Wet Sprocket. Something is always wrong. Let's hope not. It's Thanksgiving.
No, I know, but I mean, I just like song. The song. That's it. That I mean, nothing is wrong, yeah, to be honest with
all
you.
All right, all right.
So everything's great.
Here's who's in studio. Stephanie Oakes of the Houston Dash, Felipe Valenzuela BN Sport, Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Jan, give us a quick plug on some good sales over there. And by the way, Felipe and Stephanie get extra
special treatment, yeah. No, we have our huge Thanksgiving 10 sale coming up here, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's our biggest event of the year, you know, and it brings out a lot of crowds. And it's a great sale. Leather furniture, bedroom, for everything you can think of. So
yeah, just get. Remind us one more time. Sunday?
10 sale. Friday,
Saturday. Sell your store right now, like you did with that goal, and then give me a goal call after. Yeah.
10 sale Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay, at Danish Inspirations, 2775 Fondren. Go there and get your furniture goals. Goals!
There we go. And by the way, it's Fondren near Westheimer. You could fit a soccer field in Jan's store, by the way. There was so much selection in there. If you're contemporary furniture, it's definitely the place to go.
We're going to have the MLS playoffs on.
Yeah. Jan's always got it on.
Glenn, I'll be careful because he can take over your job, man.
But that goal call?
Believe me.
I don't have a goal call like that. I get a little emotional, but I don't
It's not my goal.
All right, so let's, as we continue on here, I want to talk with all of you about something that's very important to us, and it goes on here in the Houston soccer community, and it's Kick Cancer Soccer Clinics. It all benefits Curing Children's Cancer Fund, which is a 501c charity, which essentially means all the funds are earmarked for pediatric cancer research. You sign up at cccfund.org. The club's doing it, Cyfair Dynamo, Albion Hurricanes, Eclipse, the San Antonio Scorpions NASL team in San Antonio, and the Texas Rush. So, first of all, our heart goes out to all those clubs who have committed. We really, really appreciate it. This is not one person's event. This is the Houston soccer community coming together at all levels. We've got Tyler Derrick, Ricardo Clark, Paul Rogers, who's a Dynamo goalkeeper coach, all coming out. We have Kalia Ojai and, of course, Stephanie Oakes right here in studio are all going to be showing up at various sites here. What is also very cool is we have college coaches involved. Ian Spooner of San Jacinto, Texas A&M's G. Guerreri. We've got a ton of college players involved in San Antonio, Trinity University. Their men's and women's teams comes down to the Scorpions facilities. It's phenomenal. We also have two young people that have beaten cancer. Freddie Reyes has beaten cancer three times. He's only a 19-year-old man. Tremendous. He comes out and talks to the kids, and it's incredibly heartfelt. That's a big piece of it. But everybody donates their time and expertise to this, and we wanted to keep this very grassroots. Maybe one day it becomes a little bit more corporate, but this is just a show that on your own level you can make a difference. And that's what we've done. We've had events at your store, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Yan. It's $55 for youth players, 5 on up. It's fun. You mix with the pros. You mix with these great youth clubs. And I just would say to you, Stephanie, publicly, I want to thank you very much for committing your time and saying yes to it right away. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm more than happy to do something like that. These are the best opportunities for us.
Yeah, they're great moments. And every year we know 10,000 children are diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, you have kids, Felipe, so I think this one rings home with you, right? Your kids are healthy.
Yeah, thank God, you know, everything is good. But, I mean, Stephanie say, knocking wood, too, it is important to help these kids because, you know, I've seen that before with the Texas Children's Hospital. I have quite a few opportunities and it breaks your heart to see those kids, especially kids at a young age, 2-3 years old. But, I mean, like you said, Glenn, I agree with you. You know, we can make a difference little by little, you know, and we can the most important thing right here is that we need to help, you know, each other and kick cancer's little butt. I mean, because we can make it happen. Yeah.
So spread the word. It's cccfund.org to sign up. cccfund.org to sign up. If in fact, you know, you're not in town or something, you can sign up and then we'll get somebody from that's in need to come to the camp and be able to partake in the clinic. Okay, I did a little thing called Game On for 90 before you guys got here, and it's basically a minute and a half. It's 90 seconds where I bring a topic up. My topic was, in a league where there is tons of awards given out, Major League Soccer, I think the goal of the year should be split into two categories, only two. One for the best free kick and one for the best goal
running play
during the run of play. Correct, Jan. What do you guys think, starting with you, Stephanie?
I agree. I mean, I think they're very different types of goals to have a set-piece goal versus run of play. And I think set piece is more a technique. Run a play just involves a bunch of different things. I prefer the run a play goals myself, but that's just me.
Felipe?
I think I agree with Stephanie too, but I mean, it should be split. I mean, because both goals, if they're beautiful, they're beautiful. So it's tough, but I mean, I do believe, you know, it should be split.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, goals have all different types of elements. A run of a play goal can have, there might be 10 things in there, and one of them is the thing you prefer.
Right, absolutely. And the run of play, this should be divided into two, and because, as Stephanie said, the specialty it's almost getting, in some cases, there's a 50-50 chance now in the Premier League. You know, like we have a Danish guy like Christian Eriksen,
who
can shoot free kicks. And then Liverpool's goal against Man City, where there was with the heel and seven guys involved. I mean, that was just an amazing goal. And there's stuff like that. As a fan, I want to see both.
Okay, did you guys see the goal from Portland Timbers? They were on Asprilla, right? The ball that moved and hit the far corner. Now, but what I say about that goal is that never happens unless he can create a shooting opportunity for himself and create 2 yards off a defender who he unbalanced with a quick little step over, and the guy was never there and he was able to hit it. So, I mean, those are some of the little subtleties that I think that people appreciate, and that's why I would separate free kicks. And I mean, that's an individual goal there.
Correct.
Right? Right.
I agree.
Most of Barcelona's goals are just, all these small things that are done for Barcelona. It's amazing, you know.
15 passes. You tell me which is the most important.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it's the first one off Pique as a center back to initiate the attack.
Yeah, but that's Barcelona. They always play like that. You know, they come in Spain, the tiki-tac. So, you know, because it's so fast and everything. I mean, but like you say, Glenn, it's just 15 passes all the way to the goal. Yeah. And that's
right.
In Real Madrid, it's different. You know, it has to be either Cristiano or Benzema or Bell. I mean, let's remember the goal for Bell, Champions League in Barcelona, midfield all the way to make his own goal. I mean, that was a beautiful goal to me. I mean, that was his effort.
Right. Yeah. And just remember, since we talk about Barcelona, remember the name Pablo Moreno. Pablo Moreno. Remember that name. Just don't forget
only
that.
Stephanie's
he's only 14 years old, but just wait and see.
You're getting very intense Danish-wise.
Yeah. Pablo Moreno. Remember that name.
All right.
I remember that. 14 years old right
14
now?
Years old in for Barcelona.
Okay. We're going to remember right
28
now.
28 goals in 8 games.
Who we have in studio. We have Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. They've got the tent sale. We've got Felipe Valenzuela of BN Sport. And then, of course, Stephanie Oakes of the Houston Dash. Okay, we've got 2 minutes, so we're going to quickly go to this last topic. I want a quick word from you guys on the miracle that Jurgen Klopp is producing at Liverpool, starting with you, Felipe.
I think he's an amazing coach. I think his story is amazing, and I think he's going to do a great job with Liverpool. I think he got the guts to lead a team, and he's going to do amazing things with the Liverpool.
Jan?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's just, he hugged the players. He's the third their friend, the third their brother, a third their father, you know. And, you know, his display on the sideline only shows he's a lover of the game. You know, he just loves the game, and he'll keep following his philosophy no matter what. He's going to be great. And he fits Liverpool.
Yeah, Stephanie, I mean, the guy comes from the Bundesliga, and this guy's like, he's a messiah now. They're all like, these guys will run off a cliff for this guy.
Yeah. I guess that's a sign of a good coach there.
Yeah.
Would you run through a wall for Randy Waldron?
You know, I wouldn't for most coaches, but
yeah, he's a good
for
coach.
For football, I would, yeah.
All right, so we're going to just thank all of you, first of all, for coming in tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Stephanie Oakes, the Houston Dash, thank you very much, and also thank you for Kick Cancer.
Thank you for having me.
And I hope all the Dash fans enjoyed Stephanie's commentary tonight. Felipe Valenzuela, be in sport. Next time, we won't make you wait 20 minutes outside the building to get you up here.
Always a pleasure, Glenn. I'm always happy.
It's a red card for Glenn Davis.
No, at all.
Jan Christensen, thank you very much.
Glenn, it's always a pleasure to be a Danish inspiration in the studio.
Yes, you are,
right?
Sir. You
thank
are.
You.
All right, that'll do it for Tyler Scott, David Philpott. I'm Glenn Davis. We'll say good night. Thank you very much for tuning in. Podcasts at podcastarena.com and iTunes. Good night.
ESPN 97.5.